This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Asante sana. Thank you for joining us. My name is Shiko, and of course, this is the Leadership Forum. With me in studio is Bishop Emeritus David Oginde. And of course, he comes to tell us, actually, it's part 13 of Perspectives of Leadership. But before we get there, allow me to ask him how he has been. And of course, to just tell us how he is. Bishop, how have you been?
I've been very well, thank you.
Yes.
Until this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Wow.
I got some cold.
Amen. May the Lord heal you.
Thank you.
Amen. And God will heal you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So today, really, I would like us to spend more time listening to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
If they have any questions.
Yes.
On all that we have talked about, that's what I would like us to do, because we will just kind of round off or round up our discussions of last time,
mm-hmm.
when we are talking about ethical leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's done, we can ask questions from the sessions that we have covered, 13
yes.
sessions.
Yeah,
that is a long time.
13 sessions. Yes, and allow me to just tell you can actually find all these sessions from session 1 to, of course, today 13 on our podcast, AfriPods. Just do Leadership Forum, Hope FM, and you will find it right there. And, of course, on our social media platforms at Hope FM Live, at Hope TV Kenya. So allow me to just play this, then Bishop can continue.
Amen.
Yes, Bishop, we are here waiting to hear what you have to say about ethical leadership.
Yes, we started ethical leadership last time.
Yes, yes.
In the last session.
Mm-hmm.
It comes once every 2 weeks. So we will continue with that. But as I said, because whatever is remaining of ethical leadership is not too much,
yes.
I hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we hope and then we run out of time. I would like us to kind of do a recap, a review of mm-hmm. the various sessions that we have had.
Yes.
So if there are people with any comments, any questions on any of those subjects that we covered,
mm-hmm.
Today is your day.
Yes.
So maybe you can give them the number so that they can... not call, but...
they can send in their questions.
Send in their questions.
Yes.
And we'll be happy to respond as we continue.
Yes, so the numbers to write in with your message and your question is 0717-400-555, 0717-400-555. Better yet, you can do a text on 20933 and we'll be sure to read the questions and Bishop will answer.
Thank you.
Yes.
So we stopped at where we were talking about ethical leadership,
mm-hmm.
and we said that this kind of leadership, the perspective it has of leadership is that leadership must be moral,
mm-hmm.
leadership must be ethical, leadership must be practiced within guiding principles. So any person who enters into leadership, who has opportunity to provide leadership to guide others, must first and foremost be an ethical person,
mm-hmm.
must have some principles and values upon which they stand in their lives, not necessarily in their leadership, but in their lives first, because you can't be ethical in your leadership if you are not ethical in your life.
Yeah.
It is that is what comes from within,
mm-hmm.
comes inside out. So this perspective to leadership therefore says that you must be ethical in everything that you do and how you treat people, what you, how you conduct your business, how you can interact with other people, and so on. So everything that you do must be based upon values.
Yes.
It is a value-based leadership. And that is critical because it is the only way that you can treat people in the right way that people expect. Integrity is something that is amazing. Studies that have been done across the globe.
Yes.
And I keep testing this every so often because we are involved in leadership training and development.
Yes.
And so whenever we have opportunity, I do ask people just a quick survey on what, in your view, makes a great leader. And people are given opportunity to just say,
yes,
what is the one thing, if there was one thing that you'd require of your leader, what is that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Almost, actually, everywhere we have done that, kind of put forward that question, integrity comes first.
Wow.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. People will say this and that. Of course, not 100% will say integrity, mm-hmm. but it is always the highest quoted. And studies that have been done across the globe show the same.
Mm-hmm.
That the whole issue of integrity is highest when it comes to leadership. That people expect their leaders to be leaders of integrity, people of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So ethical leadership, which is, as I mentioned in the beginning, is a very, as a concept, mm-hmm. as a construct, as we say it in academic circles, is a new thing.
Yes.
But it's not new in the sense that this is it has been discovered.
Yes.
But I think it is discovered the way we were taught who was the first man to see Mount Kenya. And we were told who,
yes,
who that person was.
Mm-hmm.
As if before he came,
mm-hmm.
nobody had seen Mount Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are people who are living right at the foot of
Mount Kenya.
Kenya, but they had not seen it. until this white man came.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, the ethical leadership
mm-hmm.
Is a very recent conceptualization as a construct in leadership.
Yes.
Just about 20 or so years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at down history,
yes,
the whole issue of ethics, the whole issue of morality,
mm-hmm.
values, is something that has been with us since creation.
The inception, yeah, very true.
You know, the very idea that you should do things in the right way, mm-hmm. and you should treat people in the right way is not something that any society can argue with or against.
Very true.
So we started by looking at what then comprises this, and we said it comprises of several different components.
Okay.
But as a construct within, particularly within what do I call academic scholarly circles.
Yes.
It comprises, let me just say, seven components,
mm-hmm.
that I shared last time. Mm-hmm. Integrity and honesty, which is what I have just mentioned.
Yes.
We talked about faith and justice.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we mentioned that. Respect for others.
Yeah.
We mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole issue of responsibility and accountability. I'll talk about that today. There's the whole issue of service. Servanthood, really.
Mm-hmm.
Service with humility and altruism. Role modeling is another aspect of it, and moral courage
mm-hmm.
Is among the things that we mentioned. And so we started by just looking at each of these at a very, in a bit of more detail. And I think we stopped at, if I'm right, we stopped at fairness and justice.
Yeah, you mentioned justice.
Yes.
But I don't remember if we looked at it, did we?
Well, you're the student. I'm the one who does the exams.
I would have failed that one.
Yes. We talked about fairness and justice as one key component of ethical leadership. And,
yes.
And we did mention that in fairness and justice has to do with that sense of, what can I say? Treating people as they deserve. I think that's the best way to put it. Treating people as they deserve.
Yes.
And when we talked about fairness, is that when I look at, if we are in a team, maybe 6 people, 10 people, depending on how big your team as a leader is.
I remember.
You remember
you
that?
You said there's a way someone can be promoted and then people are so happy because they deserve.
Yes.
Yes.
Now you see. I've jogged your memory.
Yes.
So that fairness, it means that even if one person is promoted and I'm not.
Yes.
But I rejoice with them because they deserved it.
Yes.
You know? And it was done fairly.
Yes.
That's what we talk about, fairness in providing leadership. Justice has to do with not just the fact that the person deserved it, but it goes beyond that.
Okay.
In equity theory, there's what we call distributive justice.
Yes.
Yeah. Where the resources that are being distributed, and the resources can include positions.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Are distributed equitably.
Yes.
So that you get what you deserve, I get what I deserve, and so on. So it is not equally, it is equitably.
Yes.
Because we are not equal in any organization. So that distributive justice is what people observe. Did I get what I deserve? Did you get what you deserved? And that shows that the leader in distributing these resources acted in a just manner.
In a just manner.
In a just manner. But there is not just the distribution, it's the process also that is followed.
Yes.
So you could have got what you rightly deserved, as it were, and I got what I rightly deserved, as it were. But the process that is followed, when we look at it, I feel it was not fair. Because if the process was followed, perhaps you would not have got what you got. You know? So it is not just what is done.
It is how.
It is the how it is done.
Wow.
So an ethical leader does not just do the right thing, but does it the right way.
Wow.
That is what the whole issue of fairness and justice really talks about. So not just, in fact, the lawyers say, justice must not just be done, but must be seen to be done.
Yeah.
In other words, what the decision you arrived at or the action that you took was just, but was it done in a just manner?
Yes.
That is the second question. So ethical leadership goes beyond just the results. It also goes through the processes. Now, if you remember Machiavellianism, which is one of the other perspectives we talked about.
Yes.
Machiavellianism is more concerned about the result, the outcome, not the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what we generally call the end justifies the means. So if I deliver the end nicely, it doesn't matter the process that I followed. Yeah. What matters is that I delivered.
Okay.
In ethical leadership, both the delivery and the
process
must follow the right way.
Wow.
That is the big difference that ethical leadership talks about. So you find, if I just use this in practice, because in our country we see a lot of this, you find in organizations, we talk about values.
Yes.
And integrity almost standard.
Yes.
In many organizations.
Very true.
Many organizations talk about integrity.
Mm.
Now, but when you look at some of the things that they do and how they do them, it is not ethical.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
I was discussing this with some leaders some time back.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole issue of bribery.
Oh, yeah.
And corruption. And this was before I was in the ESCC, so people don't think that I'm talk about these things only because I'm there.
Yes.
It's way before that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you find therefore in some organizations, they don't bribe to get business, but they facilitate. Why are you looking at me strangely? So, say for example, marketing agents are given resources to facilitate their getting the business.
Oh, so other people are appearing, but there's this one marketing agent who is coming with gifts, maybe?
Yes, and it is official.
Mm-hmm.
So you are given facilitation allowance so that when you go out there to look for business, you talk nicely to the relevant person. If it is something to do with human resource, you can take them out for a cup of tea, buy them a handbag, you know. Or sometimes even leave them with an envelope.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not corruption. Mm-hmm. It is facilitation.
Okay.
Yeah?
Hey.
Do you see it?
Yes.
And what surprised me is that when we were talking about this, the group that we were talking with, which were senior leaders in different corporate sectors, were like, that is okay, you know? It is the only way you can get business. But the same people are actually very, very hard on our national leaders on corruption. You know, so I want my service, say, from the county government or from a government department. So I will not bribe, but there will be somebody who can help me facilitate the process. So they will go out there, and I don't want to know what they did. I just want my title deed.
Oh.
But
we have given it another name.
We have given it another name.
Yes.
So I can then tell you, oh, I got my title deed just in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder, like, how? How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this person who really helps is a very good. You just facilitate him with something small and he will get it out for you. So that is not corruption. That is just facilitation. These people who can help facilitate that process. Now, ethical leadership says that is not right.
Yeah.
You know? That the process through which you got to where you got to, the outcomes that you got, must also be ethical.
Yes.
That is what ethical leadership, fairness and justice, is all about.
I think it's a very good thing, because what if someone doesn't have that facilitation? They will never get.
They will never get that service.
Yes.
They will never get that particular job. So that's where the fairness
is coming.
Then doesn't apply, because you only got it because you facilitated. I only gave you the service because I facilitated you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't bribe. I just.
But you know, there is that scripture that talks about a bribe closes the eye of someone. It's like when someone has already given you a gift, you'll feel very guilty.
Yes.
If you don't give them that job.
It is true. Mm.
So that is what ethical leadership demands, that mm-hmm. it is not just the means, no, the end.
Yes.
But also the means through which you got to where you got. The third area that we can talk about is respect for others.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from a recognition
mm-hmm.
that human beings are not animals.
Yes.
Or other creatures. Human beings are created, mm-hmm. those of us who believe we were created.
Yes.
With a sense of dignity. And that dignity needs to be recognized and respected.
Mm-hmm.
So the way, therefore, I treat you as a person who is in my team should show you that I respect you. I recognize that you're a fellow human being who deserves to be respected and honored.
Mm-hmm.
So ethical leadership, therefore, requires that I recognize that and I treat you as such, irrespective of who you are, irrespective of the position you may hold, the work you may be doing. You are a human being. And this is something that sometimes leaders find difficult mm-hmm. to practice, because we tend to respect those people who are at our level, those people who are above us, but rarely people who are below us.
Mm-hmm.
We therefore treat them just as cogs in the wheel, you know. Mm. They are part of the machinery that is delivering mm-hmm. The work. So we don't treat people with the respect and they dignity deserve. That mm-hmm. they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Ethical leadership says that I treat every person with respect and dignity, irrespective of who they are, mm-hmm. what they are doing, how far they are, just because they are human beings, they deserve that respect. A relative of mine many years ago told me a story of the place where he was working.
Mm-hmm.
And in this place, it was a factory.
Yes.
You could not go out except at the lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get in at 7 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you leave at 5 in the evening, and in between, you're not allowed to go out, even to the washroom.
Ooh.
So that if you are to go to the washroom, you have to sign the book,
mm-hmm.
and when you come back, you sign. And those minutes will be accumulated so that by the end of the month, they will calculate how many minutes you spent in those going in and coming out and deducted from your pay.
Oh my God.
So
that
when he told me this story, mm-hmm. I was just like, mm-hmm. what do you mean? And it is true. That's how they used to work. So you sign out, if you took 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, it's accumulated. So mm-hmm. at the end of the month, we calculate for the 30 days that you worked, you went out for 3 hours total, or 10 hours, whatever the number, and they'll be deducted from your pay.
Mm-hmm.
That is not respect. That is dehumanizing. some workers, some leaders, supervisors, managers, shout at their team members, you know, and treat them the way you would shout at cows and goats. And, you know, talking about cows, my father, mm-hmm. I don't know whether I've told that story here, mm-hmm. but when I was young, I grew up in the village.
Yes.
And so my father had oxen for mm-hmm. plowing.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of our job when we were on holiday mm-hmm. was to plow with the oxen. Sometimes even during school days, you'd wake up very early, 4 a.m., to go and plow. Mm-hmm. Then by 6 o'clock, you're done, you come, you wash yourself and go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the common practice around was that as the oxen are plowing, you know, you'd have a whip,
mm-hmm.
you know, to beat them so that they move
quickly.
Faster.
Yes.
You know, they move faster. So they would, you would see these people with whips, you know, and move, you know.
Mm.
And my father, if he ever saw you do that, when he was training us, you would also hear a whip on your back.
Ooh.
mm-hmm. And you say, the bull mm-hmm. is pulling a very heavy load.
Yeah.
And you are whipping it. What do you expect? It should not work because of pain.
Yeah.
It should work because it's doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk to them. That's what you would tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the bull and they will do the work. You know, encourage them to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't whip them. Now there are people who actually whip not bulls,
But people. Mm-hmm.
They shout at not bulls, but people.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, you. And I'm thinking, these are fellow human beings. Why
yeah.
can't you talk to them
mm.
instead of shouting at them? Ethical leadership requires for you to be considered an ethical leader mm-hmm. that you treat people with dignity.
Yes.
You treat people with respect.
Mm.
Even if they have done wrong, you correct them in a nice way, in an honorable, dignified manner that recognizes that they are human beings. You know, this morning we were in our staff devotions, we are talking about the image of God
mm-hmm.
In us from creation. And the fact that we are created in God's image
mm-hmm.
requires that we treat people created in His image the way we would treat Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because these are His representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So ethical leadership requires mm-hmm. us that we treat people with dignity and with respect. And that is not just the people that work for us,
mm-hmm.
but also the people that we serve.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know whether you have gone to a place where you're getting service from.
Maybe like a hotel.
A hotel,
mm-hmm.
A shop.
Yes.
An office.
Mm-hmm.
And you are seeking for service.
Yes.
Many times which you are paying for.
Mm.
By the way you are being treated, it's as if they are doing you a favor. You know,
mm.
they shout at you, they mistreat you, they keep you waiting, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Ethical leadership requires that you treat your customers, your clients,
yes,
with respect and with dignity.
That's powerful. Bishop, you really have to take a break.
Oh, sorry.
When you come back, Bishop is going to be telling us a little more about ethical leadership as a perspective of leadership. Kindly tell a friend to tell a friend. You are in the last hour of Leadership Forum. Bishop Oginde just helping us understand the perspectives of leadership. Today, he has been looking at ethical leadership and we are learning a lot. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Karibu again.
Asante sana.
Yes.
Yeah, well, learning a lot is relative because I don't know that I'm saying anything that people didn't know. It's just
repetition is emphasis.
To package it. Yeah.
Yes.
It is true. So we were talking about ethical leadership, about respect.
Yes.
For others. And I was saying that how we treat those people that we have should not be the way we treat animals. And even animals deserve
better
to be treated well.
Mm.
And you are telling me a story off air.
Yes, we were going somewhere last week and we happened to see somebody on a cart, of course, being ridden by a donkey. And he was, for lack of a better word, spanking and hitting it.
Whipping
it, yes. But the thing that shocked us is that there was actually a very raw wound on the donkey. So everyone in the bus started saying, that's inhumane, you know. And people started saying, ah, you even know the character of someone by how they treat their animal. Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, some people will say, but it's just a donkey. But you felt it.
I felt it because the donkey is helping them.
It's working.
Yes.
It's at work.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been beaten until it has a wound.
Yes.
Yeah, but the sad thing is that some of us treat our workers in exactly the same way.
Very true.
We inflict wound on them, sometimes physical, just like the donkey.
Yes.
But sometimes emotional.
Yeah.
You know, some of us possibly listening here may not be leaders in the sense of you are a leader in an organization, you are a supervisor, you are a manager in a place. But every one of us has some kind of responsibility over people.
Yes, yes.
You know, we as parents, we have responsibility of our children.
Yeah.
Some of us have people work for us in the house, you know.
Yes.
Our domestic workers, our house helps and others.
Yes.
And the way we sometimes treat them, you know, shout at them.
Yeah.
If some are beaten. You have heard stories of people went to work in the Middle East and are brought back in coffin.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were beaten by their bosses.
Yes.
You know, they were working in a house as domestic servants and they were beaten to death.
Yes.
I don't know why a person would do such a thing without recognizing that this is a fellow human being. And they deserve better than what I'm giving them.
Yeah.
The working conditions, the environment within which a person works and lives as they're serving, all those things have to do with this thing we are calling ethical leadership.
Yes.
The whole thing about respect for others. There's a time, I think we have even talked about it here before.
Yes.
There's a time there was this story of a restaurant here in Harlingham where the workers were being whipped. You know, if you do, did you hear about it?
No.
Oh, you did not hear. It was in the news all over the place. Like this person who had done something and there was a corner where there was a table. So you remove your clothes and you go and hold that table and you are whipped on the rear. It was in the news. Yeah, it's unfortunately the person who owned this restaurant was not a Kenyan. So I don't know how the thing finally ended, but it was something that they were going through. You actually whipped.
Hey, oh, that's beyond.
It's beyond.
Yes.
Now, what is going on in the mind of this person is what sometimes takes me aback. When you are treating fellow human beings who are working together with you. You are either their supervisor or you are the owner of the business. It does not matter. The fact is that this is a fellow human being who has come to serve together with you. You are in a contract, as it were. I'm looking for the right word. They are giving you their services in exchange for what you would give them. Why do you think that the money you give me is more important than the service I'm giving you?
We are both helping each other.
We are helping each other.
Yes.
Yeah, so we should, the way you I respect you is the way you should respect me.
Yeah.
So that there's that mutual respect that is so critical for all of us in this idea of ethical leadership. So the other one is responsibility and accountability, as I had listed this point number four. Responsibility and accountability, how is this related to ethical leadership? Basically, it says, if you take responsibility first, that if I am undertaking a task, I am responsible for the task that has been given. I'm responsible first to myself that I want to do this to the best of my ability. That whatever I give, I've given the best that I can give.
Yes.
For me, say for example, I am even if I use my current role as a as ESCC chair.
Yes.
If I sat down honestly with myself, not with others.
Yes.
Just honestly with myself. Would I say that I am giving that job, that responsibility, the best that I know how? That's what responsibility. Because if I'm giving less, then I'm unethical. Because in I am stealing from the, my
employer.
Yes. Do you see?
Yes.
Now, my employer may not know my capacity. You know?
But you know.
But I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you as Shiko, where you are sitting, would you say you are giving the best of yourself to the task that you have been given? That is where the ethics of it comes in.
Wow.
A sense of personal responsibility. So people who leave their jackets in the office and go for a long walk, are they ethical? Just being responsible to yourself.
Yes.
When you come late for work, are you being ethical? You know?
No.
Because you know that you could have made it on time if you wanted to.
Very true.
But you did not even try. So, it means you are not responsible to yourself.
Yes.
To yourself. Before we talk about other people, you know, for us, you can tell us stories.
Yeah.
How it was tough, how the night was long, how the day was, the traffic was heavy, and so on and so forth. But if you look at yourself and honestly judge yourself, would you say it was right for me to be late? Yeah.
Wow.
So, the ethics of it comes in the sense that you judge yourself. You judge yourself. So, just like in any other thing, you know, you can deceive us.
Yeah.
on issues.
Very true.
Moral, ethical, and so on. And as far as we look at you, you are a great person.
Yes.
But you cannot deceive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. So, you know. When you are not doing the right thing, you know when you are not saying the right thing, you know when you are lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. For us, we can be deceived and take you seriously and believe what you are saying. But are you responsible
for yourself?
For yourself. Actually, responsible to yourself.
To yourself.
Yes. Just the way you're responsible to someone else.
Yes.
That is where ethics actually come in. Then, of course, responsibility to the people you serve.
Yes.
That's another level. Again, If you are honest with yourself, would you say that you are giving the very best to the people that you serve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are they getting value for money if they are paying for it?
Mm-hmm.
Are they getting value from you as a person? That is the ethics of it. So if you're giving me less than I should have got,
mm-hmm.
which you've added water to milk.
Or you've cooked those very thin chapatis.
You've cooked those very thin chapatis and sold them like the fat ones.
Yes.
You're not ethical.
Yes.
That is. So now when it comes to leadership,
mm-hmm.
those are the kind of things that you're talking about. Are you giving the best to your team members?
Wow.
Are you providing them with the best in terms of advice, in terms of support, in terms of whatever it is? As far as they're concerned,
mm-hmm.
they may look at you and feel very satisfied and very happy
mm-hmm.
because perhaps you are way ahead of them.
Yes.
So even the little that you give, for them, they are just so excited. But are you giving the best? Because perhaps you could have taken them to another level, a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what responsibility is all about. So responsible to yourself, responsible to your team members, responsible to your supervisor, or those people who are above you. Are you doing what you can
mm-hmm.
In that response? And it comes with accountability. Accountability is the idea of the things that you do carrying the consequences of it
mm-hmm.
and being able to, I was going to say give an account. You can't define a word by itself.
Yes.
Being able to give a report
mm-hmm.
of what you have done with what you have. Stewardship is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus talks about this man who went on a long journey and gave one talent, another two talents, another five talents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he came back, he ask them to give an account
yes.
of what they had done mm-hmm. with what they had been given. He didn't tell them to do anything with them.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
He didn't. He just gave.
He expected initiative.
Mm-hmm. So, each person now was called to give an account.
Mm-hmm.
So, in ethical leadership,
mm-hmm.
basically says that each one of us has to give an account of what we have done with the responsibility that we have been given. So that account can be of resources, that account can be of time, that account can be of skills, that account, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have been given money, it is expected that you'll come back and say, I was given this impressed,
mm-hmm.
I have spent so much on this and this and that, I have returned so much.
Okay.
That is giving an account.
Mm-hmm.
Ethical leadership, therefore, precludes misuse of resources,
mm-hmm.
abuse of positions. Because when the accounting will come, when the auditor will then come, when your supervisor comes to check what you have done with what you are given,
yes.
can you give a positive report
mm-hmm.
that this is what I did. As Christians, we know
mm-hmm.
that one day we'll appear before the Master.
Yes.
And do what?
And give an account.
Give an account.
Mm-hmm.
That is what ethical leadership is all about.
Bishop.
Yes.
Samuel, would you say he fits that bill? Because at the end of his leadership, he asks, whose goats have I stolen?
That's giving an account.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
The person that I was amazed, amazed, but I was, especially the first time I read this story,
mm-hmm.
was Jesus.
He gives an account.
Jesus gives an account.
Mm-hmm.
In just before, I think it's in John 17,
Oh, the one he said, only the one who was meant to get lost.
Yes, he said,
wow.
Father, mm-hmm. I have done all that you sent me to do.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
And he explains what he did. And then he said, and the people you gave me have also taken care of them.
Yes.
And none is lost except the son of perdition, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he actually says, you gave me 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken good care of them.
Yes.
And now, this is the account. There was only this one person who I just couldn't manage. So if Jesus can give an account,
who are we?
Mm-hmm. And there are some of us who don't like appraisals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We want to do things our way.
I go by the Spirit. Why do you want to,
wow.
to check on me? Mm-hmm. Appraisal mm-hmm. is part of good leadership.
Yes.
And I was telling some of our team members,
mm-hmm.
And even when I do leadership training.
Yes.
Every one of us must give an account.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what position you are
mm-hmm.
in leadership.
Yes.
So there's something that is now called in leadership and management circles as mm-hmm. a 360 review,
mm-hmm.
where everybody, the boss and the smallest person,
mm-hmm.
are evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, evaluation is something that almost all of us fear. You know, we
mm-hmm.
it's like an exam. All of us fear exams.
Yes, yes.
No matter how many you have passed in your life.
Yes.
The very mention of an exam sends shivers.
Very true.
And leaders in particular are afraid to be
mm-hmm.
examined, you know, so that they can give an account of what they have done with their time and with mm-hmm. their resources and so on. But it is a very good practice. I have been chairman of a few organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we did was to introduce this 360 mm-hmm. evaluation. And it's very fearful when you as a chair
mm-hmm.
have to be evaluated by your members and the people that you serve. You know?
Wow. That can happen.
What do you mean can happen? Should.
It should.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it should happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you're evaluated by, at least when I was here in Sitam, I don't know whether it still happens, but
mm-hmm.
we had introduced the 360 evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And our board members used to evaluate me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and both as chair
mm-hmm.
of the Deacon Board and the Elders Council, and also as CEO. Mm-hmm. As Bishop is CEO.
Yes, yes.
And then you are given feedback where you are doing well, where you are not doing well, and so on. And we evaluated each other.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it feels a bit uncomfortable, but if we consider that this is part of our growth process, it is not meant to bring you down. It's
yeah.
meant to help you grow and become better.
Mm-hmm.
So I would sit with the secretary in our case,
mm-hmm.
Not secretary of the office, but secretary of the board,
yes.
to give feedback. You know, what do you feel about the results that you got?
Mm-hmm.
What areas can you improve? You are rated down on this particular area. What kind of things that can you do? And I sat with all the board members at individual level to also give them feedback on and hear their own feedback on how they were evaluated. Some, thankfully, not. I don't remember anybody who scored very low.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you know, if people are scoring 90s and you're in 80s,
mm-hmm.
80 is not bad. But
yeah.
when you're the only one in 80s,
you want to improve.
You want to improve.
Yes.
So that accountability is part of ethics,
mm-hmm.
That a leader should submit themselves to be accountable. Again, like we said, accountable to yourself, accountable to the people that you lead, accountable to God, accountable to government.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in business,
yes,
you need to pay your taxes. Yeah, irrespective of what you think your taxes is not doing, your role and responsibility is to pay them.
Yes.
Then now to hold the people to account.
Otherwise, you will be holding people accountable and then you yourself,
you are not paying.
Yes.
Yes. So that's good leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That's good leadership. That's ethical leadership.
Powerful.
Yes.
I like that 360. I think then it would, you know, like there is an example you gave about Hurlingham.
Yes,
someone
yes.
Who was spanking
people.
Yes. Yes. If he knew that...
he will be evaluated.
Yes, he wouldn't have done that.
At least he would have got feedback.
Yeah.
That we don't like this idea of being beaten.
Mm-hmm.
We are adults.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
And it would have helped. Because he is not responsible to anyone.
Oh.
Then they can do whatever they like. And especially those of us who own businesses,
mm-hmm.
we tend to treat people in that way. This is my business.
Mm-hmm.
Since we are also here on a Christian station, there are people who say, this is my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You found me. I'm the one who founded this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to be accountable. They don't want to tell us where the money went.
Yeah.
They don't want to tell us what they are doing with their time and resources.
Mm-hmm.
No, you are accountable. And you should be accountable to us.
Yes.
You talked about Samuel.
Yes.
Yes, Samuel was he said in the presence of everybody, he said, if I've taken anybody's cow, just point out, what have I done? And everybody said, no, there's nothing. Some of us cannot
do that.
At least not honestly.
Yeah.
Because we know the things we have done around, behind the scenes, sometimes up front, even as pastors and bishops. So it is very unfortunate. But we have done things against our people that we lead.
Yes.
Service and altruism. Is the fifth
service
one.
And altruism.
Yes, mm-hmm. is the fifth one.
Mm-hmm.
This is altruism.
Yes.
Is going out of your way to do good to others.
Like the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you go, you are not just doing what is expected of you.
Yes.
But you are going beyond the call of duty.
Mm-hmm.
That you surprise me with your goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
That is called altruism.
Okay.
You sacrifice yourself to serve or to give or to support another person. So another level of ethical leadership has to do with that kind of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll not just do what is necessary, but I'll go beyond that which is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And in the serving of my people.
Yes.
Beyond expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Doing good to the people.
Mm-hmm.
As leaders, that is an area again that many of us, you know, we want to do the very minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Pay the basic salary, sometimes below the market level.
Yes.
Because I'm doing you a favor. We don't, like I said, this person who has to sign out for going to the washroom. That is really on the other end.
Yeah.
The very minimum is that they can go to the washroom without
fear.
Yes. It's the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So now an altruistic person goes beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
We give you a 30-minute break to go and stretch, walk around, go to the washroom, you know.
Mm.
That is now going beyond. The basic minimum is that you can go.
Mm-hmm.
It's expected. I know you are a human being. You will need to go to the bathroom at a point. Maybe you need to pick a call once in a while, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. That is bare minimum.
Yes.
But now if I'm going to be altruistic, mm-hmm. I think of what else can I do? I've heard of organizations where they have crèche, you know,
yeah.
in their offices for
mothers, would rejoice.
For mothers who have babies, that you can yes. come to work with your baby
mm-hmm.
and you have a place where they can sleep and be taken care of. You can go and breastfeed and come back to your desk and so on and so forth. That is altruism because yes. it's not expected. It's not mm-hmm. required by any law.
Yes.
But you have thought, I can treat my workers, my team members, beyond what they expect.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we call altruism. And it's part of ethical leadership, that you go beyond the call of duty.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it goes with the service that you also not just treat, but you serve the people that you work with, placing the needs of others beyond personal gain.
Sorry.
You're about to say something.
No.
Yeah. So again, that is what I could say. That's number five. The mm-hmm. service to others. Going beyond the call of duty. Going the second mile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your team members don't have to, if they are sick, they don't have to ask in order to leave. You can just see a person and say, yeah, Shiko, you don't look like yourself. Is there something troubling you?
Yes.
And when you explain, I say, I think you need to go home and rest. That is altruism.
Wow.
You have not asked for it. In fact, mm-hmm. you think you can bear through it.
Yes.
But I just look at you and say, no, you go on home and rest. Yeah, come tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good leadership. That's good leadership. What do you think would happen
yes.
if all of us acted in those ways?
Our workplaces would look forward to go to work.
It's true.
Yes.
Or you should.
Yes.
But if you are being whipped,
yeah.
you just go to put food on the table.
Very
and
true.
You hear many people who are saying, for me, I go to that place just to put food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be the case. Like you said, we should enjoy our...
We should look forward.
Mm.
Yes. We should look forward. Mm-hmm. Number six is role modeling.
Okay.
Role modeling.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders are expected to set the tone of the organization and for their team members
mm-hmm.
by exemplifying values that they expect. So ethical leadership says that that which I demand of you,
mm-hmm.
I should demand of myself. So it is not do as I say.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is do as I do. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So the things that he is requiring us as believers to do mm-hmm. in his writings, he's saying, I have done this and more.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's ethical leadership. So I don't demand,
mm-hmm.
Make demands of you as my team members.
Yes.
And those very things, I don't do them myself.
Mm-hmm.
The simple one I normally use is timekeeping, for example.
Yes.
You are very harsh on people who come late.
Mm-hmm.
But you yourself never
keep time.
Mm-hmm. You never keep time. That's unethical. You, like it is said, you have no moral authority to demand that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you are standing on hay as you are making that demand.
Yes.
Because some people would be asking, surely, you set us an example.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you, so they are leaders, you know, parents who are very harsh on their children, drinking and smoking. But they themselves, one cigarette lights another.
Yes.
They drink like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very harsh. Why did you go out? You know, set an example. Set an example, you know?
Yes.
So through your consistent behavior, you would create, therefore, a culture of trust.
Mm-hmm.
When you role model the demands that you expect, you become a person that people can trust.
Mm-hmm.
You become an ethical leader. You become a credible leader who we can trust. John Maxwell once said, a leader is the one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way.
Wow. You cannot take people where you've not been.
No, you shouldn't.
Wow. That's powerful.
If you have not been, then let's go together.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just tell them. No, we go together.
Mm-hmm.
So know the way, go the way, and show the way is a mark of good leadership. Finally, number 7 is courage.
Ah, courage.
Yes.
I think there's a time you, last time you talked about courage.
Oh, I did.
When
I was listing the...
Oh, yeah.
Because
when
I listed
them. Talking about Charlie Kirk, you mentioned courage.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I talked about, you asked about Kirk. So moral courage is the willingness to take a stand for what is right.
Yes.
Even under pressure. And it is part of ethical leadership. Cowards will not enter the kingdom. I find that very strange. Why is cowardice included with murderers?
Yes.
You know? I thought their God was a bit unfair.
And liars.
And liars. You know?
Yes.
That they will not enter heaven just because you lacked courage? That's very interesting. But when you think about it, when we do not have courage, moral courage especially, it means we compromise our values.
Yeah.
We do things that we know are wrong, but we are not able to stand. And I can say for a fact, many of us fall in that. You see things happening. I say, me, I don't want trouble. I just want to live my life, do my thing, get my pay for my children's school fees. Mr. Kumamba Mengi.
Yeah, people are afraid of being labeled the troublemaker because you spoke.
You don't have to be a troublemaker, but at least you can do something. Troublemakers are people who poke their nose where they are not supposed to. But just point it, saying this is not right.
This is not
right. It's part of ethics. So ethics is not just I not doing it, but I not allowing others to do it. God told, I think it's Ezekiel, that I've made you a watchman.
Yeah.
So if you see a person doing evil and you do nothing about it, their sin will be on your head. Think of a watchman, and I have a whole sermon that I've preached about the watchman.
Yes.
The watchman is left in the compound, in the gate, at the door, so that the owners or others in that compound, that house, can do whatever they are supposed to do in there with confidence, without fear of insecurity.
Yes.
Because there's someone at the gate, someone at the door who is taking charge of our security.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine that person sees evil happening and they do nothing. You'll be held to account.
Yes.
Oh, me, I don't know. I just saw them coming. You just saw them coming. Then what is your work if you just saw them coming? And God has set us as watchmen wherever we are put. In your office, in the marketplace, in the matatu, in the bus, in the airline, everywhere. When you see evil, don't imagine somebody else will take care of it. God had a reason to leave you, to put you there at that time to see that evil. You are there for such a time
as this.
So Esther was told.
Yes.
So when you do not have the courage, the willingness to confront that situation, then you are not ethical. You are partaking in that evil. If every one of us,
yes,
did that, you now would be without a job.
Yeah, because there would be no corruption.
There will be no corruption. We watch on each other. We say, hey, Shiko, I'm not sure what you're doing is right. And you tell me, hey, David, I don't think what you're doing is right.
And I like the fact that even for EACC, you have ways in which someone can report without being, because I think that's what people are afraid of.
Anonymous.
Anonymous,
yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
So we are not saying you be reckless, but we say be responsible.
Yes.
Be a good steward of the place where you are. So we must resist unethical practices and make unpopular decisions. To refuse to compromise is ethical. To refuse to do the right thing is also unethical. So when you know the right thing to do but you don't do it, you compromise your ethics.
Wow.
Martin Luther King Jr. said, the time is always right to do what is right.
Wow. What about those people who are usually waiting for the perfect time?
It will never come.
Wow.
It will never come. The time is always right to do the right thing. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bishop. I think today you have really challenged us. Also, last time I told you off air, a lot of people wrote in and said, "I will do better."
That is the whole purpose of this program.
Yes,
that's a good report.
Yes,
if we can do better.
Santi Sana. So right this moment, we have a few minutes. You're going to just ask some questions. Let me... Yes.
The way I thought today, we'll just ask questions.
But at least you have finished the seven principles.
Yes, we have finished.
Yes.
Question of the day on the Leadership Forum.
Yes, a question on leadership. Somebody is saying here, I have a question which may not be on leadership, but I believe Bishop can help answer. Psalm 144:1, David says God trains his hands for war and fingers for battle. What does it mean? What is the difference between war and battle? What is the difference between hands and fingers? And then could he say it was reckless on the leadership to allow David, a young boy, to fight Goliath?
There's so many questions in this 5 minutes that we are left with. And the Bible questions. You should ask Bishop Callisto.
We should forward the first one to Bishop Callisto.
Bishop Callisto to tell us.
But the second one...
Why our hands are trained for war and battle. Just a quick one on the same. The literally genre that is used in Proverbs, in poetry.
Yes.
One of them is repetition. You say the same thing in a different way,
okay,
but you mean the same thing. So war and battle is used to just still talk about fight.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you find like Solomon say, three things have seen, four have I had.
Yes.
You know, it's a way of
poetic.
A poetic way of putting words. That's the simple answer. What is different between war and battle? Very little that I know of. There is in English you have the two words. I don't know that in other languages we have different words for the same thing, but you have heard it say you can win the battle, but not the war.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The battle is the actual fight. The war is the, how can I put it? I can be considered to have won the war. Trump can be considered to have, no, let me not say Trump because he was directly, a king or a president or a leader can be considered to have won a war.
Yes.
But they did not go out to battle.
Oh.
So the battle is the actual fight.
Yes.
The war is the conceptual thing. So if I have sent my troops to battle and they win, who gets the praise?
You.
I, as the leader, I have won that war. So I didn't go out to battle to actually fight it out. I don't know whether it makes sense.
It does. I've understood.
Yeah.
Asante. There's someone
who... The last one was about...
Oh, sorry.
There was a last one that...
Mentioned David. Was it unethical of Saul to send a young boy to fight?
Yes and no. If you're thinking in today's terms,
yes,
child soldiers. But you see, here we have to look at the context. The context of the time is that young people were enlisted to go and fight battles. Part of the responsibilities of young people was to defend their homes, to defend their villages, defend their countries.
Yes.
So that was part of their responsibility. As to what age, I am not sure, because indications are that as young as 14-year-olds were expected to actually defend and fight if there should be a battle. The more realistic age was 20, especially when we read Exodus and so on. The people who are enlisted were 20 years and above. So the ethics of it does not necessarily come in that situation, because Saul did not go out to David to tell him, go and fight. It's David who came out and said, I can fight this battle. So it's David offering himself to go out to war and thinks that he can actually do it. So Saul tried, actually, if I know we don't give a lot of credit to Saul because of the many things he did. But Saul tried, even in the midst of that, to protect him.
Oh, by the giving him
first
the
of all, he said, you're only a child, you can't go out there. Saul said that.
Wow.
And David could have taken that and say, okay, another time. But David insisted. When he insisted on going, Saul gave him the armor. You know, so that he's protected. Again, he refused the armor. So then he said, now may your God go with you.
He also,
but at least Saul tried.
Yes.
I think he tried.
He tried.
Yeah.
The last one, someone saying, Arusha commissioner dealing with contractors who have not delivered school furniture, he has a cane. he's beating contractors who have not delivered. So he's asking, hii ni uzalendo sasa ama does it fall in the category of ethical leadership you were talking about?
Ethical leadership does not mean, you remember the issue of accountability?
Yes, yes.
And responsibility. Mm-hmm. As a leader, you have to demand accountability.
Yes.
Of the people that are in your charge. Mm. So a contractor who is delivering services, for that period, he is your employee.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it is called a contract.
Yes.
Yes. So if they are not delivering, you will treat them the same way I would have been treated a person who is on a longer-term contract, who is on our payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I could have done if an employee, a staff member, team member, did not deliver on their responsibility is the same thing I would do with a contractor who is not delivering on their service.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. But I will not whip them.
I
will ensure that they feel the pain.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Bishop. Time is not on our side. Possibly you can end with a short prayer.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's do that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us opportunity today to consider these issues. We know that living in the times that we are in, sometimes it's very difficult for us to walk that narrow path of ethics. But I pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in every space we find ourselves so that we can lead your people in the right way, in a manner that honors you. Forgive us for those places or times that we have not acted rightly, and any person that we have injured or hurt, we pray that you forgive us, Lord. We pray all these things, believing and trusting in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Asante sana, Bishop. Until tomorrow, same time, my name is Shiko, and of course, the voice that you
David.
Have been...
Thank you.
He's Bishop Oginde. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.